This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to The Undercard. It is the first episode of 2016, the year of the Cubs, by the way, everybody. The year of the Cubs.
That's it. Just hold on to just, that, Brad.
Yeah, you know.
Can't buy what I want for Christmas because it's free. They just got to win. We took a week off for Christmas, which we've, I think, done all 3 years. And we are back. It's officially episode 171. We have a busy week, so I'm going to start off there. And I'm going to talk about it a few times during the show. But first off, on Friday, we will be at Carlos Salinas has a show, boxing, down at Royal Oak Music Theater. And we will be there. The Ring Girls will be there. And you got professional boxing going on. Tickets are $35 general admission, and they go up in price from there. And so we want to see you there. Go out and support Detroit boxing. Everybody always says, I don't know of shows. This is my big complaint over 3 years. We just told you of a show. So get there. Royal Oak Music Theater, one of my favorite venues to watch boxing. So it'll be a lot of fun. Saturday, this is breaking news. I don't even know if the Ring Girls know this. But we will not be at.
Their ears are like. What?
But we will not be at Royal Oak Music Theater anymore.
Oh,
I did not know that.
We will be at XICW for the best of. I know we reported the reason we did not really hit plugging our last episode and really getting it out there and putting money behind it like we have in the previous episodes is that it was supposed to be two nights of boxing in a row. That has changed, so I didn't want to put money behind an episode that was no longer relevant information. So it is one night of boxing on the 8th. Mm-hmm. But we will be at XICW. Thank you, the mighty Jedi Master David Phillips, for the invite. And we will be there, and we're going to get our wrestling on.
And that's that?
Let me tell you something,
Saturday.
Brother.
This Saturday?
This Saturday. Yeah. By the way, if brother. Rhino's there, how cool is that? Rhino was just on WWE. So that's going to make my son very happy.
Yeah.
But this one's the family event, not like the events at Ritz.
Not at the Ritz,
no.
Right. The Ritz Blitz and the Imperial family show.
Yeah, so this is at the Imperial House. We're going to post information and get into the details. Like I said, I'm going to mention it a ton through the night, but you can get tickets at XICWDetroit.com. I believe, where is the ticket link for boxing? It's AXS.com. I'll have to find a ticket and do it.
You took the tickets away from me.
I did. I took our allotment of tickets I took away from Rochelle. I was like, you are not taking you and your 20 closest friends to the event.
Damn.
It's not going to be a drunken Royal Oak night for you.
You never know.
Exactly. I'm trying to think. Carlos had a show at Royal Oak last summer? No, 2 summers ago. It's been a while since Royal Oak Music Theater. Great venue, though.
Oh,
That brings us to our first guest, too.
It was last winter.
This,
right around the same time.
Yeah, this guy, and I apologize if you've been on the show, but I do not believe you have been on the show.
This is the Gentle Giant. Yeah.
This is Josh Parisian.
Yeah.
You know how, like, everybody, like, actors want to be, like, music stars? They all, like, you know.
Right,
yes. Then music stars want to be actors.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But then there's Eddie Murphy, who went and did. Like, there's always bad variations of
I think more so actors want to be directors than
actors want to be directors. Directors want to be producers. Producers want to be in starlets.
Right.
Yeah.
What people don't
I want to be a producer.
What people don't know, and I'm quickly finding out, is that pro athletes want to be podcast people. Anthony Barnes, which he's on another vacation.
And he's working real hard at it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then Josh Parisian has just started his own podcast.
I like how, like,
Barnes has got to be careful because Cody's got one more show.
Hold on.
And they're going to be tied.
We can let him pass it up.
Hold on.
We can definitely, definitely let that.
Any day.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's not forget that up until just a few months ago, like,
I know what you're talking about.
A few months ago, like, Barnes was just kind of wandering in here. And now all of a sudden, like, we're pissed that he's not here every week.
Well, that's because he said,
He
even said he wanted you to change the intro to include his name. But Barnes,
you have to be here.
If you are listening, you will not be on the intro anytime soon.
Oh, here it goes. All right, listen, Barnes.
Foot down.
No, Jimmy's absolutely right, Barnes. You do not get in the intro until are here 20 consecutive weeks. Let's make it 26 consecutive weeks, half a year.
No. It's not even consecutive weeks because, you know, we take breaks or whatever. But
consecutive weeks of the show.
Consecutive weeks of the show.
So it might be difficult because he trains, though.
No, and that's
I'm out of shits to give. And if the guy wants to be a co-host, get your ass in here. I'm here every week. I won't be here next week. I should let you guys know. Seriously, I won't be here next week. Seriously, but that is irrelevant.
Wait. So we're gonna treat this. We're gonna treat this like a job, like any other kind of job, because this really is kind of like a job. Barnes, if you have to miss a podcast, we need a note from your trainer. I'm just saying. Saying, sorry, please excuse Anthony. He was training. That way we know you're not out, just, you know, having a good time on the town and decided to blow us off.
No, we miss you, Anthony.
No, we do.
But yeah.
Wow. Why the hatred? Why the hatred for Barnes?
Told me he's got to shave.
What?
He's got to shave.
Why?
That's what he just told you?
What do you mean? What?
No, we were talking about his goat or this facial hair.
He has no facial hair.
Exactly. So I asked him, like, how long he's got some stubble going. He's like, 2 weeks.
Oh, like, I thought you meant, like, he was going to, like, shave, like, his entire body or something. Well, like,
not my business.
And we all had to watch or something.
No.
I'm just saying that boy's got to shave.
But our guest at 8 p.m. will be Josh Parisian. He is fighting. He is one of the main events on Friday. And he made his pro debut at Greektown Casino on a Carlos card in one. And so he's going to be doing it again. We had John Chalback on. He's obviously on the card. Willie Fortune is on the card. And congratulations, Willie, on opening your second Jabs gym. This one is in Eastern Market, the beautiful Eastern Market. And so congratulations, Willie Fortune. And we're going to start off by going after UFC. Then we got a really cool story because, you know, I don't know if you've listened to the show in the last 3 years. I like to gamble. So there is
Which is a great thing for a guy who gives picks to say.
Right?
But the ultimate gamble is out there. And
I don't know that it's the ultimate gamble.
It is definitely.
No, it is not the ultimate gamble.
Yes,
when we talk about it, I'm going to explain to you why it's not. When we talk about it, I have sought legal counsel, and I'm going to explain to you why it's not that big of a bet.
Legal counsel in the last 5 minutes.
I know,
that you
found
out about it?
Absolutely. Right now, I'm texting with my buddy who is a bankruptcy attorney at this very moment.
All right. So then we are also going to talk to who else we got on? That might be it.
This is so bad, guys.
What do you mean?
What?
Actually.
I didn't know if the other fighter was going to be on tonight.
The other fighter? No.
Okay.
No, that's
then
next
that
week.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Well-organized show, folks, as you can tell.
We will tease that.
What fighter is going to be on? When are these events we have to show up to?
Tuesday,
have to be here on Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works, you know.
Are you new here, Marv?
Not at all. Not at all. Well,
this is how it's been running for
I know. I'm well aware.
Go to the event anyway.
That's true, too.
It's true. I have other things to do.
Exactly. So.
It's not in my contract.
It's not in the contract. That's right.
Yeah. When we enter contract negotiations, you can try to get that changed.
It is a new That'd year.
Good luck.
It is a new
it
year.
It is a new year.
My contract is for 7 years. We got another four on it. All right.
Yeah. Let me see this contract.
I don't know.
I'll show you a contract.
So let's start off with UFC.
All right.
UFC did 195.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come to my attention that when there's a good fight, and I'm talking main event,
mm-hmm.
not talking undercards here, that I should pay respect in my own personal fan way of realizing it was a good fight. From our friends at Mally's on Northline, I was given a poster of the UFC 195 event. I'm going to start framing the posters when I think the main event was absolutely awesome.
Okay.
This was awesome. Carlos Condit going against Robbie Lawler. Amazing fight. I don't care what Dana White scored it, even though that's an easy cop-out question by a journalist, by the way, because you know he likes that question. So I'm just calling people out. But the whole thing is I scored it 3-2, but we were with Aaron, who is fan of the show and then also follows boxing really closely, and he had it going to Carlos Condon. I just basically thought, you know, there was rounds that Condit's kicks were amazing. And I thought there was rounds where Robbie Lawler was able to control the middle and get Condit in trouble along the cage. But this reminded me of, maybe the Jones fight a few years ago. This fight was a great shot of adrenaline to the UFC. But I started thinking they're too few and too far between these fucking things. And that's why I wanted to start collecting posters. And I'm talking main events, where this should live up to a main event. And at the end of it, both of them put their arms up and are resting against the cage and absolutely just exhausted. Utmost respect. And Robbie Lawler, who I'm starting to think might not have the talent of a champion but has the heart of a champion, he's had very close wins his last few fights. So I think we're going to see him not be quite the – I know. Is someone ringing our doorbell?
No.
I think we're going to see his reign being a champion not that long.
Okay.
Because they're just too close. He's just not rolling through people where right, you're going to be like right. Robbie Lawler. Plus, you factor in the division he's in. No.
Right.
But absolutely, at the end, the fifth round might have been one of the best rounds I've seen since we've done this show in MMA. But I started to think – about this is that how few and like
yeah UFC's no I know struggling. What you're saying yeah I know what you're saying
and they come out and go to the newspapers and say hey we've made $600 million last year which you're a private company you don't have to disclose that
right.
But you do that's fine
just bragging rights
right exactly trying to brag and trying to you know like hey you know for everybody that's saying this but strike me if I'm wrong. Before we go back to the main event, if you are paying your fighters shit,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sorry, but when main events make under $1 million,
mm-hmm.
you're paying your fighters shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Reebok deal has hurt some fighters, although Darren Crawshank, and we'll give him his dues, he said that he's making better with the Reebok because he's such a tier fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to take his word on it. But you are underpaying your fighters and you come out and tell we had a great year. What's the mm-hmm. advantage of that? Like, I mean, yes, there is no advantage of that.
It's not. It's a
form
big screw.
A union.
It's a
form
big screw a you to the fighters.
Form a union.
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. It's a big screw you to Dana White, to the fighters. Hey, look, we made all this money, but you know what? We're still going to pay you
it
shit.
It wasn't even Dana that made the comment. It was one of the brothers.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just like, they're just saying, yeah, we had a huge year, but you know what? We're still going to pay you shit. And you know why? Because we're the UFC and you're going to take it. You're going to bend over and you're going to take it because we're the UFC.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they were saying.
And I said I'd be nicer to the UFC this year, and I am going to be nice. I started off with, hey, great main event. Right?
A sandwich compliment.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm gonna end it with some good stuff here.
Right.
So I gotta find the post here really quick. I had it and then my computer bleeped. But I'm starting to see that Conor McGregor, though, is the superstar that can maybe get the UFC
back
on the right track.
Okay.
Okay. And
well, that's fine. That's one.
Well, Ronda Rousey is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live at the end of the month.
Which I think is a good idea.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see, like...
Oh, you know they're going to be playing all about her losing. I mean, it's SNL, and they're going to be... playing, I mean, not all the sketches, but there will be a lot of sketches about Rhonda, whatever character she's playing, losing.
Unless she tells them, "I'm not going to do that."
But no, I see.
Won't.
I don't.
She
but won't. I. But I don't think
you
she
don't think
will.
She's,
and
you
I
don't think she's
it,
a whiny bitch enough.
No,
to do that?
And I don't. I don't think so. And I also think that it plays better for them for her to do something like that. Because it makes her seem more human, right?
I don't know
exactly.
That they're going to do a bunch of sketches. I'm sure
she'll
they'll
say
do...
something in her monologue about it. I'm
yeah,
sure.
She'll definitely do that. They'll probably have something about that. But I think they're probably going to go more the route of like a woman kicking the crap out of people. And...
Well, no, and that's – I mean, there.
I don't
I'm
think
sure
they're
going to
do a lot
be...
of sketches.
Think
might... I think there'll be two.
Maybe they'll
I think
do a sketch
be...
with her like fighting Mayweather.
Yeah, that they'll probably do
too
one of those.
Soon.
No,
what I would do. Here's
do,
the thing. What I would do if I were writing for SNL, it would be a spelling bee with Mayweather and
Ronda. Yeah.
If I were writing it,
okay.
Lorne
no,
Miles.
No. I mean, I agree with that, but I do
he's
think there will
the
be
show,
at least
so.
One one sketch where she's something's happening, she's expected to win, and she just gets her world rocked or something along those lines. Because I think again, I think that's. Will make her seem more human and that she can laugh it off. Yes, I lost. Big whoop.
We well, get to see her acting chops again, so I'm excited.
Yeah, because she did so well in Expendables 3.
No, Entourage was her crowning
moment. Entourage
with
Turtle.
Yeah. Oh.
But Conor McGregor seems to be the star that everybody is still talking about, watching it at a bar. And the difference between watching it at home, which I did for, you know, I think last year I watched it mostly at home, and then watching it at bars, or maybe last year at the bars, but the year previous more on pay-per-views and stuff like that at home, is that you get to hear what people think. The problem is nobody that was at the bar that I was at knew any of the undercard people. They have a problem developing new stars.
Right.
They knew Carlos Condit. And Carlos has been around for a while. He comes off as a nice guy, although he looked like mean that night, dude. He was like ready to do business. Robbie Lawler is like the Mike Tyson with the punching power. So like those two are names, right? But they struggled with the casual people. Me and Aaron were sitting next to a couple people at the bar. I started talking to the guy at the right of me. He likes MMA, no clue who those people were. So we'll call him like a gray MMA fan. You got to start developing new stars. They're trying. You can tell. But Conor McGregor might be enough to carry it. Ronda losing absolutely hurts it. Paige VanZant losing absolutely hurts it. But their ability to develop talent and stay with talent has to be priority one to keep MMA on the list of being as big as it is. UFC is crucial. And I always get hard on Dana White, but when he leaves the sport, I'm going to be absolutely
now, do you think that they have the talent there that they could actually do that with someone?
No.
Well, therein lies your problem.
No. And it's a new year, so new resolution. So I'm going to
tell talk, it like it is.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that really quick. So UFC has an event here, okay? And let's go to it really quick. I want to exactly get it right because I'm going to say it, but I say it with love to the people out there that it's going to make really, really mad here. Okay? So let's go Sunday, a week from Sunday. So after you're nursing your hangover from going out to XICW and partying with Bob and Dave, a week
which
later.
Which will be nursing one.
Yeah. A week later.
Yeah. I don't know. You've never partied with Bob and Dave. You said a week later you wouldn't still be nursing the hangover.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you just said that.
Oh,
I said
no,
you will be nursing one.
Oh, you will be. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said you won't be nursing that. Never mind.
This is the best show ever.
We're
hey,
all
you
over.
Know what? I blame taking a day off. I really do. We lost the steam.
We had two.
I blame your shitty attitude, Jimmy. How about that?
Okay. I have to go back on this now because I wanted to double check.
God. Brad
and it's
back-ons and hard-ons. I don't know.
And it's been changed. And I'll tell you guys off the air, and you will crack up, And so I don't have to say this. So much love to this person out there. But yeah, it seems to be right with the world.
What
now.
Just happened?
I don't know.
I don't understand what just happened.
Seems to be right with the world.
What, Brad? You're the most cryptic.
What are you talking about?
Talks vaguely.
We're not going to talk about it until our first break. So okay. I apologize.
All right.
Okay.
But so it's been, stay tuned.
But it's been changed.
What's been changed?
What's been changed?
Tell you off the air.
Oh my God.
You listeners like are not cool enough to hear this.
No, you're not. Because, like, it was done.
Wow!
No, you're not.
No, you're not. I'm sorry. You are in no way cool enough to hear this. Sorry.
It's been changed. All is right in the world.
Okay.
All is right in the world.
But we love a good you. Start. And listen to us that's every Tuesday.
That's a good start to the year.
If you mail in right now, you can get your secret Bradley Sunger decoder rings.
Yeah.
So you can understand what Brad's saying during the podcast.
If you order in the next 5 minutes, we'll throw in fucking sea monkeys. How about that?
If you order in the next 5 minutes, we will send you a personal cryptographer who can then decipher the actual coded messages.
We will allow you access to the keypad that we record with a secret spy device because that's the only way we know what Brad's typing during the show and looking up.
I'm like watching from across the table and like trying to figure out like, okay. No, I can't figure it out from over here.
Well, okay, so
his facial expressions aren't giving it away.
No. Good poker face.
I know.
No, it should have been changed. You guys will all agree off the air, and we'll never mention it, but it was changed for the right reasons.
Okay, so moving on.
Moving on.
By the way, Brett, you know that hat you got on?
Yeah, I love it.
What about it?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. That's what you just did to us. Oh, my God. All is right. It's been changed, but I can't tell you anything.
it allows suspense. It allows, you know.
I tell you what, we're going to have to move Brad from King of the Segways to King of the Teasers.
Teasers. You guys will know why I went back.
Messages.
Coming up never for listeners because you're not cool enough. What has been changed and why?
Stay but tuned. All is right with the world.
Stay tuned for nothing.
Well, we keep it going. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's go.
But moving UFC, on. But UFC now takes a week off. You got TJ Dillashaw. Versus Dominic Cruz, which Dominic Cruz injury prone over most of his career, but still a 21 fighter and that everybody hopes to see versus Dillashaw. That's a good main event. That's a hopefully it pans out.
Well, hopefully
free TV UFC Fight Night
right
on Sunday. So you know we'll see. But if you go ahead on their schedule, and I have no facts to confirm this because there would be no way to know this, but it seems to me, going in their schedule, they skip over to UFC 200, which they know the date for that in July.
Right.
But then they have an event in Australia that doesn't have a fight card. It seems like if you go on their schedule that they're trying to figure out what the plan is for the year. I don't remember UFC this far behind. Like I said, there's no facts to confirm that.
They've lost a couple of their champions. They're scrambling now. They have no idea what they're going to do. They know they need to get a rematch with Holly and Rossi.
They need to get a
fight for Paige. They need to find something for Chris Weidman. I mean, they don't know what they're doing right now because their big plan got thrown out when all these people lost.
Yeah, so they go through till Saturday, February 27th. That's Silva's comeback. That's going to be in England, and that's going to be against Michael Bisping. And that's
which should be
fight.
A good fight. Yeah,
right? I've always liked Michael.
I did too. I like
And Silva off steroids. Is he the same Silva?
Well,
but then they say Saturday, March 19th. They don't have it's TBA.
Right.
And then UFC 200, which is July 9th, Saturday. Right. So we might be right. They're trying to figure out.
Well, because I
main
think
events
didn't they say that that's when they were going to do the Holly...
UFC 200 should be crazy.
Well, I was going to say 200 is I think is when they planned on doing the Rousey Holly rematch.
Well, she'd be medically cleared.
6 months. Yeah, because that would be 6 months from her last fight.
For training. I'm sure that's the goal.
We'll see how she looks at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. What do they do? They're that mean?
No,
what do you
I'm
mean
saying
how she looks.
Physically.
We'll see how she looks. You know,
physically.
When she's on air. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Does she look, you know, stiff?
Well, you know, the camera
look
puts on 12 months. 15, 20.
So does the radio.
The radio puts on.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Podcasting adds like 75, 100 pounds.
Yeah, it does here,
so
because
that explains it. Yeah, I know. Because there's so much.
The way Dave and Bob take care of everybody. Yeah.
I said as I'm eating Chicago mix popcorn,
exactly.
Which, if you're not aware, is caramel corn and cheese corn.
But I did want to run around. So we start off with UFC, get some fighting out of the way. We're going to talk some more fighting here in a second. But I wanted to know, did everybody have a good break over Christmas, though? That's the most important thing.
Yes.
Awesome. Marv,
I will just say some things changed.
Oh, what do you
some
mean?
Some things changed.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you off the air.
I'll tell you off the air.
But all is right with the world.
But everything's good. I'll tell you all about it at our second break. Got to wait till our second break.
We only have time for one secret
One suspense. Jimmy, you're still working out hard and everything like
that? Well, I actually kind of took a break from that, too. No, I mean, I wasn't like I...
No time for breaks.
Well, it wasn't that I completely, like, gave it off completely. It just, I relaxed a little bit more. I wasn't so stringent with it as I usually am.
Your beard has grown.
My beard has grown.
It's gotten a little wily.
At it.
Yeah.
It's a little wily. You need some more of that beard.
You know what?
I'm using
for Christmas.
That. Oh. No, but but you can't because
I can do whatever I want.
Well, you can give it to me. I'm not going to use it.
It grew
though.
Like a whole inch.
Well, yeah, and that because I've had to stop shaving
peanut butter
it because of
the movie.
Remember that?
Yeah. The what?
Peanut butter solution?
But the kid got kidnapped and they used his hair for paintbrushes.
Yeah.
Peanut butter solution. It's from the early 80s or even maybe late 70s.
I don't remember that.
It's terrible. This kid figures out, like, he mixes like peanut butter and a bunch of crap and it makes hair grow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Well, if I had found that, I would be growing it up here, not here.
Well,
but anyways, no, I have to let it grow out for the films that I'm filming.
Whoa.
So as soon as they're done, I told you about those.
So you have to.
He'll remind you our third break.
Because you're, like I said, it's
yeah. Learning. Because I'm
it's going like this.
The character that I'm playing
is drag queen.
What?
It's a drag queen.
No.
Oh, bearded lady.
No. It's a guy who lives in the woods, and he, you know, so anyways,
Revenant.
He's supposed to be, all kind
scruffy.
Of scruffy looking or whatever. But after this
he married
one.
To a Bigfoot?
After this one, I can shave it down a little bit because the second film
he stays on
I'm
point.
Filming, I can trim it down a little bit. And then I just found out I'm going to be in a production of Diary of Anne Frank at the beginning of March. And I'll be trimming it down even more.
Where's that?
That's at Concordia
Germany.
University.
What?
No, it was Amsterdam. Diary of Anne Frank was in Amsterdam.
Was it?
It's
whatever.
But that's being performed at Concordia University.
I've heard of it.
Yep. I got asked by the director. He's like, hey, can you... He sent me a message.
Are you playing
said,
Anne
hey,
Frank?
No. He sent me a message. He said,
beard
hey,
out, I think.
He's like, hey, can you... would you be willing to play Mr. Van Dan? In the first weekend of March for Diary of Anne Frank.
Stop talking.
Huh?
Claude?
Stop. No.
Stop talking.
No, I'm not going to stop talking. I said yes because
Anne
I
Frank?
Thought, no. I thought.
Are you playing a Nazi?
I thought he meant the guy that hides the families. No. My character
is a Nazi.
One of the other, from the other family that's hiding in the attic with Anne's family. So that's a bigger role than I thought it was going to be.
So you're not a Nazi?
No.
Well, because you already have the bald head, I figured.
Yeah, I know. No. So, yeah. So it will be growing out, and then it will be trimming down throughout the next several months.
Okay, so you're going to be in that production, and you're also going to be in a couple of films.
Yes.
Join us.
And possibly in another production, which I auditioned for in the middle of
Join us next week
January.
For the
that's
further
awesome.
Adventures of Jimmy's Beard.
It is getting pretty. It is.
I know. We just.
He just tried to titty twist.
It is getting pretty long, though.
It is.
That's what she said. Boom.
Boom.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He was waiting all night for that.
Yeah.
We're joined by Ring Girls Kirsten, and we're joined by
Speaking of
Ring
getting
Girl
longer.
And,
oh, my God.
I'm going to shut your mic off.
I bet, like, they're the heels on their shoes. They're getting a little longer.
Shut up.
Okay, I was talking about my penis.
Both of them have significant other boyfriends in their lives and stuff like that. Was it a good Christmas?
Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it. Spend time with family, spend time with his family.
Is it better to have a boyfriend during Christmas, or does it really matter?
I've never had a significant other for the holidays because I don't like to date, so it was, like, different, but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he give you nice things?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's his job. I'm wondering, yes, if he did, he like bracelets, necklaces, things like that.
Yeah, he got me this necklace jewels? That I really wanted.
Well, I know he doesn't.
Was it a pearl necklace?
What's the worst thing he got you? The thing you would take back.
He's not listening.
He's not listening.
No, yeah, he doesn't.
Probably.
We'll edit this out.
I mean, I like Victoria's Secret. He did get me a Victoria's Secret card. I think I would have wanted a gift
instead of the gift card.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what your size is and stuff like though.
It's small.
Small everything.
Doesn't matter.
What size is she? About like.
Seriously, back me up, guys. Would you go in and like buy anything? Like, you don't know sizes.
No.
Like,
damn,
there's no
straight,
way.
You better.
No.
Yeah, you better.
You
come
never.
In with a gift card from there. It's
no.
Like you might
put
no.
No, because it is a double edged sword. You cannot win that.
No,
because
you
either. No. Because
pick up the bra.
Hold on.
Where's that size?
No. You either buy it too small and she's pissed because she's like, ah, she thought I was smaller, but I'm so fat.
Or you buy it
too big, and you're like, "How fat does he think I am?"
Okay,
you cannot win that situation.
Yes, you can because my clothes are laying everywhere, so there is no reason why you can't pick something up.
No,
and look at
no,
it.
Because
no,
no, because the sizes of
it.
Your clothes do not translate to Victoria's Secret
a lot
sizes.
Of my clothes are from Victoria's Secret. There's
no reason
why like,
no.
You can't exactly.
Exactly. No.
Look at
all
my
right.
stuff.
I know. All right, yes, I can look at my wife's clothes,
and I can
see that there's a number. All right,
clothes.
There's a number
well,
in my wife's
woman.
Clothes.
That's
all right,
different.
The girls there help you.
Hold on. There are numbers, all right, in my wife's clothes. I went shopping with one time.
Not at Victoria's Secret.
She was checking out. She was looking at bras, and she's like, "Go get me the next size up." There were fucking letters in it. Now, the numbers didn't correspond to anything like what I knew she wore. There were letters involved. How am I supposed to know?
The ladies there at Victoria's Secret
think that you're a pervert when you're
like,
a guy rummaging
like
through
the
silk
size
panties,
of this, or is it the size of that? That's how they talk to guys when they go there.
And you know what I'm gonna say? They're gonna say how I'm gonna have to hold it and be like, she's about this big, and like pretend like I'm squeezing boobies, and they're gonna have to put a bra in my hand. I'm gonna go, no, not quite that. Bigger, smaller.
Yeah.
He did the right thing.
I enjoyed my Christmas. I really wanted this gold cross necklace, and he gave it to me early, and I really liked it.
So it was not a pearl necklace that he gave you.
Oh my God, stop.
I wouldn't want to. No, stop.
Oh man! Oh man!
The look.
Yeah. You know, when the realization hit, that was priceless.
I was like, wait for it.
That was priceless. Yeah.
There it is.
Anyways,
I thought she was going to make us wait to the next break.
Kirsten.
Before she got it.
That was great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did you get a pearl necklace?
Yeah, I got spoiled. No,
pearl necklace.
No, okay. You can keep them.
What about a gift card for a facial?
Stop.
What? You go to the places and they scrub your pores and stuff.
No, I go to school there.
It's exfoliation.
Spot day.
So no facials or pearl necklaces?
I get like 3 facials a week right now. So.
Oh my God, no, don't.
What about
walk in.
What about coupons for a donkey punch? Anything?
Oh my.
Well, no, like it's a punch card. You go to the petting zoo. You go to the petting zoo. There you go. You'll get it. Keep trying. It's one of them. There it is.
No, I'm
yeah,
off.
But we got to hear. Okay, so if you're going to do that from now on, you got to get on the mic like an NHL referee and announce what the 2-minute penalty is for.
Once a week.
Or an NFL.
The penalty is 2 minutes
for interference. Marv Anderson.
The penalty is always going to be rough in the ring, girl. It's always.
It is. Or me. I mean,
sorry. Yeah. If you're leaving that off, I'm gonna go.
Well, what
no, you're back on.
Wouldn't too sexual be high sticking?
What's that?
I think too sexual.
High sticking.
Yeah.
Yours off now.
Well, I'm sorry. It's definitely high sticking if we keep talking about pearl necklaces and facials. Where's the? Oh no! Let's Rochelle see, is massaging her head. This cannot be good.
Wait. We're
Sebastian
at seven.
Would have had the show has reached an all new level.
Yeah, I know. We're at 7:34. I think we have about 5 minutes worth of podcast that we can actually use.
That's right. Thanks for tuning in. Good year so far.
Yeah, exactly. This podcast, Dave's going to go through this later on. He's going to come back. He's like, so your podcast went for an hour and 50 minutes.
I thought it was about boxing.
But I had to condense it down. So you got about 15 minutes, and not including the interview, that you can actually put on SoundCloud.
All right. So he's on the penalty box. Yeah. His mic really quick. How it was good. What was the gift that you would take back your boyfriend gave?
No, what did her boyfriend get her?
I was going to say, what was the best thing that he got you, and what was something maybe
you didn't
ask
Liz that. We don't know what
it is. She said she liked the necklace.
I really liked the necklace that I got me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue, Kirsten.
The cheapest gift that he got me, I love it. I used it this morning. It's a little ice scraper for my window in the morning.
Oh, nice.
And it's like a glove, and it has owls all over it, and I'm into owls.
Very
so even like, yeah, he was thoughtful with everything he did. It was sweet. But like Liz, he got me a couple of gift cards, and a little effort would have been good.
I can't say that because he got me a lot of stuff.
You know what? Hold on.
Did he get somewhere that you would really, that you absolutely love, though?
Yeah, and they were really specific. He got me a TJ Maxx one and said, you have to buy a purse with this one. I wouldn't want him to pick that out.
Yeah, and because that's a good place to buy them.
Right.
And he got Sephora, and he said, I have to buy makeup. He's not going to pick that out either.
Exactly.
And then I got a Victoria's Secret too,
but I like my Victoria's Secret card. Like as soon as I got it, we went there like the next day and spent the entire card. So
of course, right. See now, here's the thing, because like I like
shopping in Victoria's Secret.
Yes, actually I do. But I do gift cards for members of my family because sometimes it's just very very hard to shop for them. But I always
not your significant other.
But it doesn't matter. Because anytime I do gift cards, I don't just give a gift card. I always do something more with it.
Yeah.
So, like, for this year, and you guys were a part of it, I did
not everybody was.
Not everybody was, but Brad and Rochelle were. It was a scavenger hunt at my parents' house. It had videos that led to clues all throughout the house, and then they had to actually do a crossword puzzle, and it led to a Bitly link, and it was fun for them.
Yeah, that's cute.
You know, but and that's what I'm saying is, if you're doing a gift card, you got to do something else than just here's a gift card.
I will never understand why you're single, Jimmy.
But see, for me,
I go above and beyond.
That's a good idea.
I'm only 20, and to be completely honest, like I could care less if I got a gift or not. So.
I was waiting I'm only 20. A fifth of Jack would have been fine.
Yeah. one gift is good enough for me. He didn't have to get anything else.
No, and I mean, I understand that. What I'm saying is if you can't do something, if you can't think of a gift or you want to do a gift card, do something more with the gift card. Make it fun. Don't just say, here's a gift card. That's all I was saying.
I love getting gift cards. Love it.
I'm just saying, the gift card itself is not the bad thing. It's the, here's a gift card. There's your gift.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
It's really not the cheapest route to go either. He bought gift cards for everyone, and he spent more. I mean, you're dropping that much money on every single
thing. It's actually more expensive.
Yeah. It is because you gotta buy the card.
You can go for sales stuff that, you know, would equal that amount.
Right.
Had it been the regular price.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see,
but the good thing about gift cards is that this time of year, like, I was on one of my apps today, and nearly every store is during, like, their huge clearance sale now.
Right,
so you get everything for
that's because you got to do mandatory inventory as a company, so they want that stuff out before they have to be scanning SKU numbers and shit
before
like that.
Before those spring clothes come in.
Right, exactly.
Oh, the cruise line's already out. Barnes has been on two, probably five, seven. He's probably Caribbean now or something like that, you know? Who knows where he's at? What are you shutting me off for? I thought you were shutting me off. I was like, what the hell? Barnes isn't here to defend himself. We're fine. We are fine. We got to go to our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. The two were mentioned in the same sentence again. We'll talk a little bit about that. We got Josh Parisian at 8. What's on tap? Are we doing that?
Yeah, we're doing that.
What's on tap? Sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company, which I'm drinking right now. And I do want to say that we have the greatest bet out there, I believe. Maybe we'll tease that again until after the Josh Parisian and wrap up the show with that. So we will see everybody in a few minutes. Thank you for listening on PodcastDetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
It's the undercard as we're discussing Marvin's Christmas.
It was pretty awesome.
I loved it.
I did love it. I'm a bookworm, and I got books, and I got a gift card to Barnes & Noble. So.
We have Josh Parisian coming up in about 10 minutes, but we're going to talk a little bit about boxing here really quick and run through what has happened over the last couple weeks. Really recent news, so let's start with the most recent. Floyd Mayweather said in an interview to Fight Hype that he believes racism still exists in the sport of boxing. I'll break it down for you. Floyd Mayweather, racism still exists everywhere. So, you know, I understand
What do you mean? We have a black president and Black Lives Matter.
Oh, it does. It's unfortunate, but it still exists. But his reasoning of why racism still exists is that Ring Magazine, the most famous boxing publication out there, says that they got Andre Ward ranked number 4 in the pound for pound list. And the real reason Andre Ward is ranked number 4 is he doesn't fight enough. And that's been my number one complaint with him. I have him ranked lower because of that reason. And he was saying that, you know, it's a form of racism. Everybody doesn't like Andre Ward because he doesn't fight enough. And then you get into he doesn't maybe have enough power. But the number one reason people don't like Andre Ward is that he is doesn't fight enough for people that love the sport. You know, it's one of those things where you got to fight and people remember that. But he also took shots at Ronda Rousey saying that she was bigger than Leila Ali was. And it's just that women's boxing at the time when Leila Ali was fighting wasn't as big as women in MMA. We can put that to rest also. But he also questioned why his behavior was criticized as cocky, but Conor McGregor's is not. And he went on to give quotes to Fight Hype, but I think everybody thinks Conor McGregor's cocky. I don't think anybody doesn't think that he isn't. But now it's gotten Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor going back and forth. And once again, I said McGregor's maybe the star of the UFC. I didn't buy into it, but I was wrong. To have Floyd Mayweather acknowledging you, talking about you, going back and forth with you, good for the UFC. And I still don't think Mayweather's done with boxing. It just until May, Cinco de Mayweather comes around and goes by, I think he has a chance of still being a part of it.
Well, I don't even think then it necessarily means if it comes and goes and he doesn't fight, I don't think that means anything until that new arena opens up and he does not open the arena. If that comes and goes and he does not step
but
in the
ring. But that's about the same time, April.
Okay, it is.
Wayne Newton is playing. You'd have to look
really?
It up. Wayne Newton is really? Opening the arena with 4 other bands of different genres. So, like, you have a punk band that's really popular.
I saw Wayne Newton. I worked at the Fort Community Performing Arts Center in Dearborn. One of our opening acts when we opened up that 1,201-seat theater was Wayne Newton. This was back in 2002. The guy was horrible. And I mean absolutely horrible. Cannot sing anymore. Cannot do anything. He looks...
But Jimmy, what is his nickname?
Mr. Vegas.
I get it. Mr. Las Vegas.
I get it.
Of course you have to have him open the venue.
But what I'm saying is, like, even in 2002, like, I did not expect him to survive from beginning to end of that show. He was looking rough. I can't imagine what one of his shows looks like now. And they're going to have him open the new arena?
Well, I'm sure he'll sing like 1 or 2 songs. Brad said they had like 4 other bands.
Well, they have The Killers, which are pretty popular. The Ring Girls are going to have to help me here. Who is Shamir? S-H-A-M-I-R? Popular? Not popular?
Oh, okay. I never heard of that. Isn't that from Laverne and Shirley? Shamir.
Shamazzle. They're opening the Las Vegas arena. So I think that Mayweather maybe being the first fight there would be a big deal. But Wayne Newton, I think it's paying homage to the Frank Sinatra-type lounge singer.
Yeah, you have to.
It's kind of like a little throwback to Vegas. And like,
plus, what's going to –
I was just seeing who Shamir was.
Yeah. Plus – like, what's going to be held there more often? Music, music shows or boxing events?
Music show.
Exactly. So, like, why? Like,
there's not enough boxing.
Yeah, like, why? I guess, like, from like, why would you open an arena like that with a boxing event when you know damn well it's going to be concerts that are there all the time?
Tickets are just $35, by the way. And it's still being called Las Vegas Arena because they're working on names, pending naming rights. There was a great rumor out there that Zuffa was trying to get the naming rights, but I guess they are out of it. I said T-Mobile. And it still looks like T-Mobile, so it might be the T-Mobile Arena. But so you get three acts for $35, and Wayne Newton's one of them. And by the way, I'm looking at a picture of Wayne Newton. Did he look worse than this? Is this an old picture of him, Jimmy? He looks good there.
That's from like the 80s.
No.
Wait, what picture?
Let's yeah.
See. That's not see. From the 80s. They didn't have pixels you. Like that.
I guarantee you.
Let me see it.
That is not how he looks anymore.
That is not from the 80s.
It's older, but it's not an 80s quality.
That's got to be before 2002 because he was rough looking in 2002.
Thanks for tuning in to the Undercard, Wayne Newton all the time.
But he also was playing the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. I doubt he really like went the extra mile.
Dearborn's cool.
The best I live there. I'm not saying it isn't. Here is a more recent picture.
Well, that's more what he looks like now.
So he's had some surgeries. I'm not sure if that is Wayne Newton or Forrest Whitaker. I haven't decided yet.
Actually, looking at that picture, and honestly, like, that would be like the face that I would look like, you're having a stroke.
Are you seriously?
It's the one side.
No, I got a better one. I got a better one.
It's like the plane. It's like MGM found the leftover makeup from Oompa Loompas and Wizard of Oz, freaking Willy Wonka.
Yeah,
it makes me think of like Aunt Bethany from To Go Back to Christmas. But like,
oh yeah,
they're like, oh Wayne, you shouldn't have done that. He's like, oh dear, did I break wind?
Yeah. No, that first one, I swear to God, you could put that out as a poster of, you know, the fast thing for a stroke.
Yeah.
One side's drooping. The eye is drooping.
If you walk out with a spray tan looking like that, you walk back in and get your money back, or you have them fix it.
Well, no, actually, at this point in time, it's probably so ingrained into his skin that he's just naturally orange from now on.
Yeah. He's like, I totally had it, and then as soon as I started talking. That other actor.
I got to write down like a phone number for Rochelle, too. Really quickly, though, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, they were mentioned in the same sentence again, and there was a rumor going around
what, worst fight of the year?
It was, actually. Okay. I said that was my disappointing part of boxing. But Manny Pacquiao, there was a rumor going around that if he was to get a rematch with Floyd Mayweather, he'd fight him in the fall. Since then, Manny Pacquiao has come out and said, that's not true. This fight with Timothy Bradley is my last fight. Oh. Teddy Atlas says that the Timothy Bradley decision that everyone disagrees with was at least a draw, where everybody always says that Manny Pacquiao clearly won it and it was a bad decision. So the best part about this fight is Timothy Bradley now has Teddy Atlas in his corner. This will be his second fight he's had Teddy Atlas in his corner. Freddie Roach doesn't shut up. He's just always talking. And so I think the strategic battle between Teddy Atlas and Freddie Roach is going to be more fun to watch than Manny Pacquiao, who is once again a devout Catholic who won't say anything bad about anybody, and Timothy Bradley, who will probably respect Manny Pacquiao because he's going to get an amazing payday. Top Rank went and said that Terrence Crawford's not ready yet. No one would pay for that. And Amir Khan, no one's interested in that fight. And that's how they came along with the Timothy Bradley trilogy. So we are going to be calling Josh Parisian here. I got to write down the number here. And I don't have any way to write down the number. I need paper made from tree.
He'll give you the phone number at the next break.
No, I'm trying.
He's not going to tell you what it is, but you know.
But just know that
all is right with the world.
Just know that it starts with a number.
It's changed.
How many numbers?
It's changed.
7 to 10.
Okay.
While I'm looking up this
but
number
not
really
in sequential
quick,
order.
Can you give a proper teaser for the highlight of the show? This lottery.
Well, actually,
thing?
Yeah, and actually, we're at the 8 o'clock hour, so I'm going to do the quick what's on tap, but.
So the lottery thing, we're not going to – we're just kind of tease it. But basically, you can get into an auction to get a lottery ticket that will give you money for the rest of your life.
No, not for the rest of your life.
For the rest of – well, but that's –
yeah, he's spoiling too much.
Hold on. No. But there's an auction to buy a lottery ticket. Right, to buy a lottery ticket. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to What's on Tap. There's not a whole lot going on as far as boxing that you can see on TV and MMA fights.
You got
fights.
Deontay Wilder, though, coming up.
You got – but that's not this before the next
– Oh, that's true.
See,
that's,
every
– This is how that segment works.
Right. This is what you can see between this show and next show. You got Nelson Dario Dominguez versus Fernando Marquez Gonzalez. They're fighting in Argentina. You got Julio Cesar – Dominguez versus Elvis Verastugi. That is in Buenos Aires. You have Evgeny Gradovich versus Jesus Galicia. That is in Spain. That's pretty much all you got for boxing, except for locally this Friday. You can go see some boxing at the Royal Oak Music Theater.
Yeah, Carlos Show.
Carlos Show. And give us a little, like, mention it again. What's who's going to be fighting? And
well, we have Josh Parisian, who's going to be one of the main events. He's going to be on the show. We're going to let him talk about it. You got John Chalback. You got Willie Fortune 500. You know, some names you've come across, some MMA fighters that are boxing. You know, it's boxing. And then February 6th, there's more boxing in Detroit. But we're saving that for next episode because we have Dimitri, the promoter, who will actually be in here.
Excellent.
Talking February 6th boxing.
Awesome. All right. For MMA, CES, MMA 32, Felix versus Sanders. You can see that on ESPN. That's in Lincoln, Nebraska. And also this Saturday, if you are a pro wrestling fan, you can go to XICW at the Imperial House and see the Ring Girls and probably myself and Brad and Rochelle, but definitely not Marv because Marv never goes to these things. So that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company, which Brad is drinking right now. Is that the Ninja Chicken again?
Yes.
Okay, Ninja Chicken. Yep. Great place, great beers, great times, great food.
Amazing food.
Amazing food. And one of our big sponsors. So thank you down to Falling Down Beer Company.
Yeah, they sponsor the network and we drink their beer. Yep. So thank you.
And next week we'll do this again at the 8 o'clock hour.
All right, let's call up Josh Parisian. Unless I'm saying his name wrong.
No, you're on good.
All right. Good start to the year. Haven't mispronounced anything yet.
Really?
Lottery.
Hello?
Hey, Josh, it's Brad on the undercard. You're live on the air. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I completely forgot.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, we feel really special right now.
So,
I'm so sorry. I've had so much going on. Yeah.
So say hi to all your friends and family that are obviously listening right now. Thanks for that.
I got a call earlier saying that my blood work wasn't up to date, so I've been freaking out trying to get my blood work and all that stuff.
You need me to pee in a cup or something? Do you need me to pee in a cup for you?
No, I should be good.
Okay. I'm just, the offer's there if you need it.
Yeah, he's figuring it out. Carry the two. I should be okay. I should be good since the last fight. Well, we're joined by Josh Parisian. He's talking about blood work and all that fun stuff because Friday he fights at Royal Oak Music Theater. Tickets are $35 for general admission and go up. And this is your second boxing match. You're also an MMA star because you're with SFS and people know you. You kind of got this gentle giant thing. We were talking about it. This is the first time you've been on the show, but I've crossed paths with you a ton. How did you get into fighting? What was motivated you to decide I'm going to punch stuff?
It was one of those things where I had a rough childhood, didn't have a lot of confidence. So I'm actually from the UP up in Escanaba.
The Eskimos.
Escanaba Eskimos. Somebody invited me to do some mitts, just a friend from college there. And I went and did it, and I fell in love with it. And I dropped all my classes. It was enough to drop all my classes, pack my car up, and I moved downstate. Lived with my uncle, did construction, and I was driving down to Romulus to train every night. So ever since then, I've been pretty hooked.
And you started off with MMA. How did you end up with James Gray, Amanda Bobby Cooper, and everybody there? When did you remember first seeing James, and how did that relationship start with SFS?
Actually, I trained with Joe Clements. He was a TWC heavyweight champ for a while there. He trained with Mike Wojciechowski here and there. I went with him. I trained with Mike, and that's how I kind of met James and all them. And it was shortly after they just moved out of the basement, because the gym started in the basement of James's house. And it's just something about just like the family setting, how I felt. I just haven't left.
Very cool. And then somebody comes across and says, hey, do you want to box? You've already been doing the MMA. And you're like, naturally, yes? Or is it just to get some stand-up work in? I was at your pro debut versus Eric Moon. I believe you had at least a 75-pound advantage. It was either you're going to win by decision, yeah, knockout, or you were going to eat him. And those were the three ways you were going to win the fight.
Huh. As far as boxing, it was one of those – it's really hard for me to find – fights as a heavyweight, surprisingly, and it was just something to basically break the ring rust, you know, keep doing competition, because if I don't do competition for a while and I fight, I'm kind of, you know, a little nervous, like it's like my first time. But what was the second part of the question? I forgot already.
No, I was just to work on that, get the ring rust and everything like that, but I was talking about your debut versus Eric Moon, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I had three opponents back out of the fight, and Eric took the fight last minute. And to make weight, he wasn't even at weight. On the way to weigh-ins, he ate a loaf of bread and drank a gallon of water to make weight.
Oh, my gosh. So he felt great.
Oh, my God. I can think of nothing worse.
At weigh-ins, you see everything. You see people puke. It's just a rough – like, I mean, for fight fans that haven't been around a weigh-in, you see almost everything happen. But, yeah, you were a good 100 pounds on him. Were you able to feel that out right away in the first round, that you were clearly had a little bit more power than him? Or did Eric always a true guy? He's fought – actually, I believe Barnes has fought Eric Moon too. Were you able to find that he had a lot of power too? What was your first few minutes in a boxing ring?
I threw the very first jab, and he slipped it right away, and I threw it out there quick, and I knew I was in for a long night. I went in the fight just thinking, having that huge weight advantage, that I was going to have so much power, and it was just anything that I put on him was going to put him down. But him being lighter, he was very quick. It was hard to hit him with anything. Everything that hit was grazing. Anything that it did land flush, he covered up. I was able to push him against the ropes and do damage there. He's really tough, though. He did hit me with some body shots that if it wasn't the end of the round, would have been not good.
So, tough battle for you. And what did you learn from that fight that you're going to carry over to this Friday? Obviously, you're going to make weight because you're a heavyweight. It's not like you're cutting, I believe. I don't think you have to add on weight. But what did you learn, and tell us a little bit about a week for a heavyweight? We always hear from fighters about cutting weight and stuff like that. Yours is a little different. So fill us in with that. So first start off with, what have you learned that you're going to take to the second fight, and then tell us about fight week for a heavyweight.
Ooh, fight week for a heavyweight. I'd say Panda Express.
Coca-Cola, new Coke.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, you get to sit back and just watch other people go, what's the big deal, dude? We just step on the scale.
Yeah, exactly. all my teammates hate me for that. but yeah, this fight, or what I pretty much gathered from my last fight is, like, when I had him against the ropes, I really put a lot into it. Like, I thought I was going to finish him there. And it's not MMA gloves. It's a lot. You have to put it right in the button if you're going to put somebody out of the boxing glove. And I spent too much energy trying to do that. And this time I'm really going to focus on being at the end of my punches and conserving, you know, using energy when I need to, but being more intelligent with it.
Very cool. And then my first experience seeing you, you had groupies. You had a bunch of girls that had shirts made up. What were they called again? I believe your groupies. They had a name.
They had it. One of them I call my girlfriend now.
I know. But...
I don't recommend calling her groupie anymore.
She don't like that.
And now that she's girlfriend, I notice there's no groupies anymore.
Yeah, well, when the groupies do come around, I call her roommate.
Hello.
Ouch. That's like Jimmy doesn't have a girlfriend either. He just has a girl that would be real mad if she heard him say that.
So how'd that come about? You just all of a sudden you had like the hottest girls at shows wearing pink shirts with your name on it, and you had groupies. It was almost like Grady Sizemore when he was a Cleveland Indian. He had Grady's ladies or something like that. They were just girls that would dress up in shirts. You had groupies, man.
Well, the dad bod is in right now.
That's true, yeah.
It's awesome.
No, those were, I was talking to, which is my girlfriend now, at the time, we were talking. She's actually from the UP as well. And she had brought all her friends down to come watch me fight, and they all made T-shirts for me. That was pretty cool.
That's cool. That's cool.
She's a sweetheart. She's a keeper.
But I did notice since you're... She's your girlfriend. There's no more groupies, though, man. So she put the kibosh on it, eh?
They were her friends.
Yep.
Nah, she wants that. She only gets the made-up shirt now, is what he's saying. Yeah. And then you have to go make a podcast, man. We have our podcast. Were we not doing good enough for you, Josh? Why do you got to come in our podcast realm? But, no, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about your podcasting, where people can listen to it, and what you guys discuss.
Oh, honestly, it wasn't a thing that I thought was going to take off. We literally did it in my truck. we just wanted to...
Same as us. We did it in the Russell for a while.
I was
going
to say, that's all right. We used to do it in an abandoned factory, so you're actually a step up.
People were scared to come see us. Yeah.
That's about it.
I was scared to go.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing where we really planned on it being a big thing, just to BS and have our friends listen to it and stuff. And... My sense of humor is pretty crude, and we just wanted to see if anybody would listen to it, appreciate it or not. And, you know, our main staple is going to be MMA. We also talk about our fights that are coming on and all that, but mostly we just want to talk guy stuff and be inappropriate.
Are you still doing it in your truck, or do you have a
We've actually
a room
only done
now.
One. Okay. We haven't planned the second one yet. I got in trouble for doing it on the weekend. My girlfriend was like, that's our time. You're cutting into it to hang out with your friends and run your mouth on some sort of podcast. So I got to reschedule that.
Yeah, what you meant to say was you mistakenly scheduled something during date night, which will never happen again.
Yeah.
And you are so sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to help you out. It was 9 in the morning, and I didn't think she'd be awake anywhere.
That's right. 9 in the morning in the truck. What was I mean, what am I supposed to do? I record a podcast. Come on, honey. You know exactly what I was doing out there. I was recording podcasts, you know?
Yeah, but who is she? Ryan?
Exactly.
It's like that.
Sounds
that,
hideous.
That well, Allstate or what is
she
it? The
hideous.
State Farm? Like, yeah. What are you wearing?
Well, I'll let you know this, Josh. Everybody in our group is tradable, so if you have something you'd like to offer, I'll take offers on Marv, who would sounds like his humor is more for your show anyway. So like if you want to give us some like money, some draft picks down the road, maybe trade you know a groupie,
I don't know what you're calling what are you calling the podcast right now, because if I did join we could just simply call it Heavyweights.
Heavyweights. Right now it's called a Fully Torqued Podcast, and I don't know if you know what fully torqued means, but it means to be so erect that everybody in the room knows you're erect.
Yes. Oh, my God. Marv is so
erect. Yeah, Marv is definitely for your podcast.
Yeah, I think we need to do some talking.
Marv's looking at when his contract ends. I'm He's like, what's that date?
He told me 7 years. So
yeah, but that, it's negotiable.
So now it's negotiable.
And where can people find this podcast? I mean, Fully Torqued?
Right now, we just have a Facebook page. We've been putting our... our one that we made, we put it on SoundCloud, I think it's called.
Yeah, that's where we're at. That's where everyone should be. So, good job.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Ryan's handling all that. I'm just
I'm just the talent.
You're just yeah.
Josh is just like, I'm the talent. It's my truck.
Yeah, I know. I know how you feel, buddy. I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah, I have the office.
Exactly. If you want to send us mail, it's a moving station, so you got to find out where the truck will be. But we'll gladly answer fan mail whenever it comes in.
Send it to Fully Torque behind the Red Lobster.
Exactly.
Fully Torque behind Red Lobster.
Yep.
But in all seriousness, you should go out and buy a ticket and see Josh Parisian, and then you can't miss him. He's the nicest guy in the group, and he's the biggest guy in the group height-wise and everything. I call you the gentle giant because you always got a good smile on your face. I want to thank you for joining us. I'm going to check out your podcast, listen to it. Sounds like a lot of fun. I know James was pushing it. Your coach, James Gray, was pushing it, saying that you have a unique sense of humor. So I know Marv's going to check it out now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
He's probably going to leave us for you. So
well, we'll just see who makes the better deal.
Just saying, if your co-host decides to get out of the truck, you know, Marv might be there for you.
Yeah, I can provide my own truck.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know. I appreciate you reaching out to me, having me on your show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Good luck this Friday. And we look forward to following you in your MMA career, and keep it going, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you later.
All right. That is Josh Parisian. He is fighting Friday, Royal Oak Music Theater. If you didn't have enough excuses to go, the Undercard Ring Girls will be working the ring. We'll also be trying to make 50-50 money for the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves. And we're going to have some major announcements with the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves coming up in the next few weeks and when that will happen and everything like that. So that's very exciting. A lot of exciting stuff, dude. This is my favorite time in boxing, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. From about February to Cinco de Mayweather. Amazing. Normally it picks up. It's going to be awesome. Deontay Wilder fights next week. We didn't have it on What's Tap, mm-hmm. but everybody's saying, where would he go against Tyson Fury? Anxious to watch it to see. Because it seems like Wilder's not fought in a while, but I'm trying to figure out exactly when it is without looking at BoxRec. But I want to see more of him so mm-hmm. I can judge where he is with Tyson Fury. Of course, Tyson Fury has a rematch now with Klitschko. It's going to happen this summer. Lots of stuff, dude. Love boxing.
Love boxing.
Yeah, every time I watch MMA, I've made no secret about it. Boxing is in the heart. I love MMA, too, and we mm-hmm. cover it. But boxing, I mean, that's just the heart that keeps the blood going through. It's very, very cool. So thank you very much, Josh Parisian. We're going to go to our last break, and we got – give us a teaser. Give it the ultimate bet.
The lottery.
The ultimate bet. God, are we going to stone somebody?
The ultimate bet.
And maybe Kid Vegas maybe. Himself will make a prediction on somebody's
maybe.
Life. Here we go.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
What's going on? Welcome back to the Undercard. Oh, I was going to go somewhere with the China comment, but
put my headphones on real quick.
I think Jimmy wants that off the air. So, anyways, welcome back, episode 171, first show of 2016, the year of the Cubs. And
are you going to be saying that every
episode?
Just keep on keeping believing, little man.
The year of the Cubbies.
Yeah,
it's
just
coming.
Keep believing that, little man. Because
well, he's just the year of the Cubs. Doesn't say the year the Cubs do what.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true,
assuming
too, yeah.
lose, but
yeah, like every year.
Baseball's cool because out of the main four sports, every other starts a year and then goes over, even college football, too. So put the fifth sport, football, if you make it all the way, it goes the following year, Super
right.
Bowl.
Yeah.
NBA, not like anyone cares. That's goes to April. Stanley Cup playoffs, which we like here.
It's because baseball players are a bunch of pansies, and they can only play during the summer when the weather's nice.
Have you ever been to a game in October?
Freaking
freezing.
We will not play in the rain.
Mm-mm.
This game was a rainout.
No, I tell you what. Come October.
He sat in a rainout for how long? How long were you in that Cubs rainout?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
I
even
a
rainout. That was like
– That was a monsoon.
Okay, that's fine, but where were the players? They couldn't
– They were
there? They were inside.
They didn't cancel that game.
No, they didn't. And me and my son, the game got over at 2 in the morning, and we're riding the L train home, or got okay. done at 1.
Well, but they waited until the rain stopped, though, right? Like, it's the professional equivalent of your mom yelling, coming out of the rain.
No, okay.
You can't play out there.
No, the game.
And then the rain stopped, and they come back out.
No, they played through the rain. It's when the storm became a monsoon, and there was lightning and thunder that they said, hey, let's postpone this and see if this big storm
Pansies.
Will go through.
Pansies.
Yeah, I know. Wrigley Field's an old building. You got to make sure you get over it. I know it's cold in here. But we want to thank Josh Parisian for joining us. Oh, he has a podcast. We're going to send a link to it. Jimmy gave a hint to it, and we're going to post it on our Facebook, facebook.com/radiounderCard. The by far the best thing on the internet so far this year is about a guy that won the lotto. Jimmy's going to tell us about it and then lost it due to bankruptcy.
Yeah.
That's the best thing
I've ever
heard. I think this story's fascinating. Okay, this is great.
I'm going to read the article. So this could be your chance to bid on something you'd never be able to buy. A winning Michigan Lottery Cash for Life ticket will go up for auction online later this week because the winner filed for bankruptcy and can't keep it. Dwayne Migernick.
You cannot say that on the air, Jimmy. You cannot say that.
That is his, Barb. That is his name. President of RepoCast.com in Byron Center, Michigan, which is handling the auction, says the winner will receive $1,000 a month as long as the ticket's original owner lives. The catch? The man is already 73 years old, and the opening bid for the ticket is $30,000.
That might be worth it.
Basically, when you look at it, it's a little bit like gambling.
It is.
A lot like you know, the man could live a month. He could live 20 years. I mean, that's the mystery behind it all. The guy says there's a lot of interest in the auction, which has been approved by a federal bankruptcy court judge. There's been many, many hundreds of phone calls on it, he said. It's a very unique thing, and I'm not sure has ever been sold on an auction before, at least that I know of. He said potential bidders can rest assured that this is legit. The opening bid is set by the bankruptcy trustee, which has a court document attached on the auction. We have, with the auction item, all the court documents attached. Oh, hold on. My thing just moved. Have the court documents attached so that anybody wanting to bid on these items can review all these public court documents, which are signed by the judge. The online auction, which is open to the public, begins Thursday, January 6th at 8 a.m. at repocast.com. Maximum bids may be placed now at this link.
And there's a link.
And there's a link, right, exactly. So, yeah, so basically, $30,000 is opening bid. You can bid on this $1,000 a week for life lottery ticket. Highest bidder gets $1,000 a week until the guy that initially won the lottery ticket passes away.
Let's put that in perspective, though. That's $52,000 a year.
Yes.
So, if you're thinking he's going to live at least a year.
To recoup your money, he would have to live at least a year, and that's actually not $52,000 a year, because you got to remember that's $1,000 before taxes.
Right.
So once you take taxes out, yeah.
That's what I want to know. Like, did the they can pay taxes up front? Did he do that?
No. It sounds like he didn't. No.
No. No, because it's like an annuity thing.
Right.
So it's it's basically you're getting a paycheck of $1,000.
Right.
The way I look at it is if someone has $30,000 just to play around with, they don't need this.
Well, that's not exactly the question.
No, it's
I'm not saying it's the question. I'm just putting it out there.
The fun of this is putting the over under on how much you'd spend on it. 73, past the life expectancy average.
Yeah, but I mean, anybody, like, we could walk outside right now and get hit by a car. I mean, anybody could die in an hour. Anybody could live for another 20 years.
Right. And they won't give updates on his health. That was part of the original story I saw. You can't call and say how healthy he is. They will not say if he's diabetic, if he's had a heart transplant. Yeah. You don't get to know this stuff. So it's the ultimate gamble.
It's not the ultimate gamble. And I'm going to tell you – do you want me to tell you why?
I know you went and did some research, so tell us why.
I did. Well, and this is – and I had kind of thought of this already, but there are a couple of ways you can go. One, so you can – whatever. You get this. It's signed over to you, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can call a place like J.G. Wentworth.
They give loans on it.
Well, they don't give loans. Like, you then, but you basically give them your. They basically do this. They buy this from you.
Right.
So you could get a lump sum if you want to go that route. But what I would do is, if I'm getting $1,000 a week for essentially breathing, right? I'm not going to quit my job or anything for that. I would then just take out a friggin' life insurance policy on the 73-year-old dude using my $1,000 a week to pay said life insurance policy. So I get his $1,000 as long as he's alive, and when he dies, $1 million.
Brilliant. Look at you, dude. Oh, my God.
That, so whether he lives or dies.
He's not
wait.
His lawyer
friend
is.
No, hold on.
No, I know
you
he checked it
can
with
you
the
put a life insurance policy on somebody you're not related to?
Oh, but
you
companies do it on CEOs all the time.
Wayne State has a life insurance policy on me.
Yeah.
But they're your employer.
I have a vested interest in him. You can get a life insurance policy on anybody.
Okay. Did you have to give them permission, though?
What's that?
Do they have to have permission?
Well, I mean, I did. Like, I signed a thing that said, like...
I would say, would he have to sign the
no,
thing?
No, I don't believe so. Mm. And I think you could make the argument that you have a vested interest in
it. No, that is true.
Now, the thing is, though, is, I mean, he would have to agree to it in that, while, like Brad said, that, like, this the auction thing isn't giving you his stats and, you know, health. If you're going to take out a life insurance policy on the dude, the insurance company is damn well going to want him to do a physical and questionnaire.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be an expensive policy, but you're getting $4,000 a year, a month. I doubt it's going to be $4,000 a month to have that insurance policy.
Right. So you're basically
– A million dollar policy, a life
insurance policy.
Right. So basically you're using the money that you're getting to pay for the life insurance policy so that when he does pass away, you get more money than when you initially got.
Well, you would have to speculate – like you would have to figure out like how much is a life insurance policy going to cost me. If it's going to cost me $4,000 a year, probably not worth it. But if it is only going to cost you a few hundred a month or, you know, whatever – then it's worth it because you're still getting – let's say it costs you $1,000 a month. You still have $3,000 a month.
Less taxes.
Well, whatever. You still have that money. And then when he dies, yeah, you lose that weekly payment, but you then get the insurance policy.
Right.
That you have essentially not paid for either because you're paying for it out of these winnings.
Right.
Now let's take the show to an all-time low. We're dealing with somebody that's living here, but let's put an over-under on it like Vegas would. Say you and your wife have saved $200,000. Mm-hmm. You're good, but to bid on this would set you back some of your savings. How far in the bid would you go? How much would you spend betting on his life, not knowing anything about him?
I wouldn't go more than $50,000.
So that's not more than a year.
I wouldn't go more than a year on.
So you're putting him down at 73. Huh?
Well,
he's going down.
I don't know. Well, I mean,
okay. Well, here's my question: If this man was to file bankruptcy, when did he file it?
It was a while ago, but then did they cover that in the story or did
they
I read
did
a different
not.
Story?
Okay, so figure that he did it wrong. Like, say, 5 years ago, we'll say. Obviously, at that point, he thought he still had, you know, time to live if he was going to file for bankruptcy. Otherwise, he would just let it go.
True that.
What? I don't follow.
You wouldn't file for bankruptcy if you thought you were about to die. What's the point?
I see what you're saying.
So you think he's like, I can go through the 7 years of bankruptcy and then I'm going to get a visa when I'm 80.
Right.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe.
That's interesting.
Because what's the point of filing bankruptcy if
I think
you
Jimmy's
know?
Searching for him right now, which is another all-time low. Can you get a picture of him? Is he on dialysis?
No, I'm actually trying to look at
Well, now here's the other funny thing about
The other issue would be though is if he is that in debt or whatever and he may not want to leave that like to his family.
That's true.
You know, like that may be why he did the bankruptcy thing.
But you can't transfer. No. I didn't think you could transfer.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. Like, you know, the debt would
that
not
over
be,
to a family member. Well, no, didn't you say that
the debt
transfer the, lottery? No, no, you couldn't transfer
the debt. The debt would not become the responsibility of the family itself, but the estate would have to pay out any debts that he had. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if he didn't file bankruptcy, this money would still then just end up going to pay any debts that he did have. The lottery money. So even you know what I'm saying. So even when he died, they would still have to like pay that out, like paying off his debts.
Yeah. So you're saying not more than a year. So you're giving him less than a year. So 50,000, you're putting him at 50.
Well, I mean, I guess
with taxes.
Actually, I would at least want to. Can I at least meet him? Or is that like part of the rules?
No. You got to go on a site.
Because I honestly would go the life insurance route. That's exactly
that's a brilliant
what I would
plan.
Do.
But I'm not giving you that. I'm saying that $200,000. You and your wife say, hey.
Well, there's absolutely no way I would spend $200,000.
No. Okay. So 50. You would say, let's gamble with that. Let's have fun.
I might consider 50.
Right.
If I have 200,000.
Knowing he could die as soon as you win the auction, you get nothing.
Well, I would immediately institute my life insurance plan.
That is brilliant. We've given you an A+ on that. We've given you the blue ribbon.
Or I would,
but now play the game where that doesn't exist. Then
I would weekend at Bernie's his ass.
Well,
I would move him in with me because you better be.
Don't think his family wasn't thinking that when he dies. Like, let's say he dies in February. How?
Yeah,
if he doesn't smell till April,
if my $1,000 a week. No, listen, if my $1,000 a week is dependent on him being alive, I'm shoveling his snow. I'm making sure he has rides to his doctors. I'm making sure he's taking his vitamins and saying his prayers.
Did you check your blood pressure?
Yeah, I'm checking his blood pressure for him. I'm moving in with him or he's moving in with me, and we're keeping this bastard alive.
All right, Rochelle, give me $200,000 in the bank. It's taking you 15 years to save it. What's the craziest you get? How far do you bid? That was more of a gamble than I thought Marv would take. 50. That's good.
Only because I have the life insurance plan.
On there. No, I said blue ribbon on the idea, but that's not what's pertaining here. You're just pure out gambling.
I don't know. I wouldn't go more than
7. I wouldn't give me another 7 40. Years. 4. So you're saying this is his last year. This is going to suck the life out of him.
You just don't know. You just don't know.
I don't like to gamble with my own money, so I would say no.
Well, you're not even going
to
bid at it.
Well, that's the thing, right? So if the opening bid is 30 grand, he has to live, because really, as Jimmy keeps reminding us, once you take taxes out, he pretty much has to live a year for you to recoup the $30,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he has to at least live a year to recoup that.
It's a long time to get your money back.
Yeah, it sure is.
Do you get a spot on the family's couch at his funeral? I mean, your family, then. You wanted him to live more than even his brothers. you'd be more upset. You're holding the tissue box more than the brothers.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I would assume.
What if that family is pooling together to join in on the auction?
Right. Are you giving any money to his funeral? If he's lived a while and you made some money and you hear he passes, well, you're going to know he passes. You're going to go to the ATM and go, not this week. Damn. Exactly. Yeah. it's not there.
Am I going to his funeral?
Are you paying for some of his
funeral? Am I paying for his? Fuck him. No way. Pardon me. That was uncalled for. Is this the dude?
That's the dude.
Let me see.
There's no way. I'm paying $100 at most.
Let me see. $100.
Oh my God.
I can't see from this angle.
Now I'm mad at the bankruptcy people for taking it away from Grandpa.
Oh my God! No,
look at that.
I'll be honest with you, Jimmy, and like honestly, when I was seeing this at a weird angle, I thought that was a statue.
He looks more, he looks more frail than Bill Cosby walking into court.
Like his hair's like all gray. Like I thought it was a statue. Like,
well, there's him standing at least.
Let's see it. Let's see that.
At least he can stand up. Well, and you know what? And if my money was dependent on him, I'd be like, sit your ass down.
Exactly. You know how many elderly people fall? Sit. I'll wheel you to where you need to go.
I'd be like, you're not allowed on the stairs. You're not allowed. You sit in the couch.
I mean, I'm bankrupt.
Yeah, how did Darren McCarty become bankrupt? I mean,
McCarty went bankrupt because he was a very generous guy.
Yeah, I think looking at those pictures, I mean, especially that one of him standing up.
I want to see this one.
I would maybe do the 30,000 because he looks like he could live for another year. And he's got your money back, and then whatever. I mean, if he dies after a year, then whatever.
He's got that great old man jacket. The people that wear those kind of jackets, those like Lands End, they live forever. I'm not joking. Like they'll get to 95, well, they'll be having coffee at McDonald's.
Fifty's
a steal.
Like my uncle, who goes off and he's just like, I'm living the life.
That's right, Lands End. Yeah. I mean, he knows his stuff.
All right, you know? So let's talk about
this
now. He's
a talker
now,
too. I can tell. So
let's talk about this now. Okay, so let's say you win the auction, and now, like, how much of an asshole are you?
Oh, you're an ass.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right? Because, now, like, this poor old man
you've seen a picture of
has
him.
Has filed bankruptcy. Mm-hmm.
Going to hell.
Probably the only income he
really?
Had.
Really? Because you're praying for him every night. Are you really going to hell?
Yeah, because the reason you're praying is to keep getting his money. Okay?
Exactly.
All right, you've turned the temple into a robber's den. Right. All right?
Exactly. But you're giving up a kidney if he needs one.
That is no, I'm not.
Really?
Because I've taken out the life insurance
policy.
Well,
he's not paying for he's not paying for any of his funeral either.
You're not feeling well? Oh, too bad.
Well, no, I mean, for like the first year, like I'd want to recoup my investment back. But after the first year, I'd be like, you want to go to the Grand Canyon? Hey, I've been thinking Bugsy or what's his name?
I could see. I could see Marv.
I'd be like, hey, Donald, you want to go hike the Appalachian Trail with me?
I can see Marv when he hits 100 years old, just taking him everywhere to Wings games where they honor somebody that's 100 years old. And you'd be like, you earn this. You get anything you want tonight. It's on me, dude. Like, you've lived like a good time after that and you've recouped a lot of money. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. No, he'd be like, where can we go to get you a free dinner? Oh, okay, let's go.
I was trying to think if we posted a picture of him on our Facebook, how unethical.
That's wrong. No. That's wrong. No.
If Marv says that's wrong, really?
Yeah, that is wrong.
Yeah, I am questioning my relationship with you tonight, tell you.
The only
I'm glad you're not questioning our relationship.
I know where that is.
The only reason I found him is because I searched through that website with the repo or whatever and found the original documents of the bankruptcy filing.
Oh, okay.
That's how I found him.
Why would he have a picture of him on there?
I can tell you what year it was. It was...
He found his name. And
actually,
on Facebook.
It was in 05.
That's what I thought.
That converted to Chapter 7.
That
earlier.
So that picture's from 05.
No. That's his current Facebook profile.
When he filed bankruptcy
was in 05.
Wait, 7 years?
Why does he have a Facebook at 70-something years old?
Ooh, Facebook, young at heart. He could go a while.
Well, hold on a second, though.
That's been 11 years since he filed.
Yeah, how is this? I don't...
I believe I read a story, and this is all – I don't want to get the facts wrong, but I believe that it was readdressed again and some of his debtors weren't paid. So then they were like, hey, boom, now it's going in there.
It says student aid, financial aid.
Yeah, seriously.
Financial aid from like what, 1940?
You never know.
Harvard? What are you talking about?
You never know.
Yeah, back
in
70.
Bankruptcy does not cover
Hold on.
When he was going to college, it didn't cost as much to go to college.
True.
So he didn't need to take out all
the I'm going to read the beginning of this. So it converted to Chapter 7 on 11/29/05. However, the first statement in this order authorizing auction sale of right to receive lottery payments under Section 363F. On November 20th, 2015, a trustee filed a motion entitled Motion for Authority to Conduct Auction Sale of Right to Receive Lottery Payments under Section whatever. Trustee served the motion on the creditor matrix pursuant with LBR, yada, yada, yada. Trustee has also filed a certificate of no response pursuant to that rule. So he filed for Chapter 7 on 05. Somebody is trying to recoup some money, so they went to...
That's what he's saying, a debtor.
Right, exactly, a debtor. But it wasn't filed in 2015. So that and it's just not, and that was in November of 2015.
They are persistent.
Hold on. So did So did he win the lottery after filing bankruptcy?
It doesn't say.
Ooh, yeah, that changes everything.
That's what I was getting at.
It doesn't say.
Because if he had won the lottery prior to 05, like this should have been liquidated during the Chapter 7.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to put him at 81 years of age.
Well,
so I'd bid high. And just gamble on it.
You know that
Kirsten,
guy
what would you gamble?
He's got 5 years.
Young at heart, he's on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I probably wouldn't go over 50.
I don't know. He looks...
Just because $1,000 a week, if you know, you put that big lump sum of money out and then you're getting back $1,000 a week, I would spend that $1,000 a week. I would never get my money back. It'd be gone.
Well, and you're really only getting $600 a week.
Right. And you would get used to that and that would be nothing after a couple weeks.
I think if you... have a good feeling that he's going to live for a year or more, you should do it. Because obviously a year you're going to get your money back and then whatever after it's like free money.
What really surprised me about this when I...
Do you have to claim it in your taxes after that?
Oh, is he... how would you...
I would wonder how that would work. I would assume you do.
I don't think that guy's going to live very long.
You're not the actual like lottery winner.
Yeah, but the IRS is. I mean, this is that you're doing this.
There are so
the
many.
We're just simplicity on how
IRS
long
it
think
it makes
live.
Me think. You know, like how it would actually go down.
Here's what surprised me about it, though. When I talked to my bankruptcy attorney buddy, he said this actually happens way more often than you think.
Really, and it goes into auction.
Where annuities and things like that, these type of things go into auction. Absolutely.
See,
I was surprised. Well, I mean, staggered payments like this.
I don't think he's going to live that long, though, because, like, for anybody who is going to win $1,000 for a week for the rest of their life, like, and you don't get that,
you're going to suffer from depression from that, and then people can die from depression. So I don't think he's going to live very
well. Okay, ooh. So doing a little bit, it didn't say specifically, but when I was reading the filings and the LLC that filed the initial injunction, so on and so forth, I think that yes, he filed bankruptcy in 2005. He is still under Chapter 7 because he's still getting his way out of it, but he won the lottery since then.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get their money that they're owed, we'll so they went after
and
his
that, that's where
annuity
he
payment.
Stay. He should yes. have had
okay, so
a,
that
he,
was his boo-boo.
He should have had a family yeah. member or something.
Yes. Go to the lottery, or maybe lottery. Doesn't trust
financial
the
financial advisor.
So, whatever. Jimmy, new job duty. You search the obituaries every week and figure out when this guy goes down.
Now,
no, I am not
now,
doing
now,
that.
I'm gonna,
but you know what? Because I guarantee you it's going to be in the news.
Now, hold on.
Your mic's going to go off, Brad.
And you know what? I'm also going to tell you this right now. And this was pointed out by my bankruptcy attorney buddy. A company's going to buy that.
Ooh.
Yeah, probably.
A company.
Actually, there was already a letter.
Or a J.G. Wentworth or somebody yeah. like that yeah. is going to buy that.
Yeah, there
it's
was
not,
already
it's not going to be you or me or Joe Schmo.
No.
I was just having fun with
it. It's going to be a firm or whatever. But let's flip the script really quick one more time.
Yeah.
Now. You are Donald whatever. You're the guy who has filed bankruptcy and is losing your
$1,000
your $1,000 a month, right?
Week.
Or a week that some asshole is stealing from you. After this is all said and done, do you pull a scent of a woman and go to like New York for one final weekend and then
Hoo-ah!
And then just Hoo-ah! And then just off yourself to piss the
yeah.
like oh you're taking my $1,000? Enjoy that.
Right.
And just off yourself. Like, go, like, have one last weekend, one yeah. last hurrah. This is awesome. This is great. Spend whatever money you have, and then
yep.
see ya.
See ya. Oh, wow. Well, we're not going to search the obituaries.
I might, again.
I'm saying it'll be
I
news.
Might do that. If I was so, yeah. in his situation, I might do that.
Yeah. I have him live in another 7 years.
That's so sad that people are, like, debating on when he's going to die. Like,
that was my show topic, I guess.
Well, yeah, that stuff happens all the time.
Sorry about that.
The Deadpool, like, it happens yeah. with celebrities, like, every year.
By the way, a movie I want to see coming out.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we got to wrap this up. Thank you, Josh Parisian. Once again, you can go watch professional boxing at Royal Oak Music Theater. Carlos Alinas is throwing another show. So come out Friday to Royal Oak Music Theater in Michigan and check out Pro Boxing. And on Saturday, XICW Best of Show.
Yes.
You got to come out, hang out with us, and watch some pro wrestling. This is at the Imperial House. Tickets are available at XICWDetroit.com. Thanks, Josh Parisian. Thanks, everybody. Rochelle working the board. Marv, Jimmy, good to see you after the new year. Glad yeah. you guys are safe.
Marv.
And the Ring Girls, Kirsten and Liz, thank you very much for joining the show. We will be back next week, and we will talk about our eventful weekend, and we will, I don't know, follow us on Facebook. Talk to you soon. Bye.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.